Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but, you know, we've experienced so much together. And at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win. I know I want to win. And That's all I'm worried about.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
Okay, Steph, I'm going to have your back right here. I don't think he said yesterday what a lot of you think he said. Steve Kerr said what you think he said. We need Clay back. Steph said, I could never see myself without those two guys. Sure. Like, y'all have a spouse? Y'all have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Could you see yourself without them? I mean, in this moment, probably not. But spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Some of you will encounter something that you don't see coming.
Yeah. And some of us have gotten to that point.
Yep.
And have, in fact, been able to see life without that person.
And so Steph might too. Like, I thought it was more important when he was kind of wrapping what he was saying at the end. He's like, I can't see myself without those guys. But all that matters is I want to win.
Right.
So if behind the scenes there are conversations going on and this offseason plays however it plays, or Clay gets an offer for $32 million a year from the Orlando Magic and he wants to take that, well, then guess what? All they want to do is win. And if they feel like with what unfolds, their chances of winning are better without one another than they are with, then they're going to learn exactly what it feels like.
Right.
Even though they can't see it right now.
Yes, and it might just come down to what you're talking about, which is money and role, because right now he's making $42 million, or last year we can now say he made $42 million.
Remember last year?
Right. He was the second highest paid player on the Warriors, and he did not play like a number two on a playoff team, and they were the 10 seed, and he was making 42. So if Clay comes in at a number that is more conducive to a guy who's a role player, doesn't mean he can't start, doesn't mean he can't play 25 to 30 minutes a night, but it probably would mean he becomes more of a designated shooter and more of a fourth best defender on the floor, less of a primary option than he's been so far throughout his career.
Agreed, agreed. So plenty of time for that, and that'll unfold. We do want to go to the calls. Stay right there. I want to play two quick pieces of sound for you. Do you want to know, behind the scenes, who the Warriors are picking? I mean, you're sort of going to know this already, but the whole Kuminga-Wiggins thing.
Gotcha.
Can they play together? Can you figure this out? We found something. They can play together a little bit. We love Wiggs. All the things that you hear all season long. Listen to these exit interviews. You want to know which one the Warriors are going to choose? All right. Here's Jonathan Kuminga when asked about his future.
I love it here. Love it here. Like I said, I love it here, and the rest of the thing's going to end itself. So.
Okay. 6 seconds, three times. I love it here. Once again, Kuminga, what do you think? Like, I don't know. What about here? How's that sound?
I love it here. Love it here. Like I said, I love it here, and the rest of the thing's going to end itself. So.
I love it here. I love it here.
And like I said,
like I said, I love it here. Okay, hey, Wiggs, did you know that there might be conversations involving moving you this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. We never know what could happen.
who's going to be here, who won't. You never know. You know, that's the NBA. You know, all you can do is, you know, take care of what you can take care of, what you can control.
So we got like 18 I love it here's from Kuminga.
Yep.
And we got 18 you never knows.
Yeah.
From Andrew Wiggins. And now you know which one the Warriors choose.
Well, you also know which one they tried to move back in February.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty well-known, I don't know if it's a fact, but it's a sourced report from a number of different sources that they were shopping Andrew Wiggins, and they didn't get the return that they would have liked. Otherwise, I do think they would have moved off of Andrew Wiggins at the trade deadline. And now you get to a spot where if they are players who duplicate each other too much to keep, you're going to side with the younger player who's got more of an upside as opposed to the enigmatic player who, you know, had one great season, all-star, champion, and has otherwise been kind of just okay.
I will be, is the word shocked? That might be strong.
Surprised.
I will be very surprised if Andrew Wiggins plays for the Warriors next year. I'll be very surprised if Andrew Wiggins plays for the Warriors next year.
You'd be shocked if they traded Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
And kept Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, God, yes.
And you'd be very surprised if they both were on the team come October.
Correct.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would be, you can just put it this simple. I'd be very surprised if Wiggins is on the team. I'd be shocked if Jonathan Kuminga is not.
Yeah, I don't know what the stronger word than shocked is.
I would be shocked.
Right.
I would be shocked if Jonathan Kuminga is not on on the team next year. Adrian in the city with Willard and Dibs. Hi, Adrian. What are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I'm just, you know, I'm driving over here. I'm just thinking about things. I'm a little heated, you know. First of all, just to qualify myself, been a longtime fan since 1988, so allow me to cook over here real quick.
Go, chef.
The coaching staff. You know, I honestly, I blame the coaching staff. How can you not call a timeout? This is what I love about Greg Popovich. He would make things look so ugly in a game. You know, you're in hostile territory, you're playing on the road, and then in the first quarter you go down big, and instead of being a pest and calling timeout and seeing that your players don't quite have it there, instead of you interjecting yourself to go and help the team win, you just let them ride this out a la Phil Jackson status and think that with your aged players that you can make this kind of move. That's number one. Number two, Trayce Jackson-Davis was cooking for the last, like, 20 games of the season. You had him in your starting rotation, balling. And then all of a sudden, you want to go back to Kevon Looney, who hasn't really been playing much, and then expect that he's just going to turn on a light switch just like that? These things don't make sense to me. Then you go and you cut the lead back in, and then all of a sudden, what happens next? Man, you get cooked. And you go down, you were as close as 4 points, and you go down 15-17, and you don't know how to call a timeout. What are you saving the timeouts for?
So, again, with full acknowledgement of your emotions, Adrian, your feeling is that the Warriors might have won last night had they called a couple of timeouts.
You know what? It's not just that they would have won had they had called timeouts. They would have won if they had been coached better and placed in positions that are better. Clay, unfortunately, was stinking it up. He's had a solid couple good games as of recent. But, man, when he wasn't cooking, you had to realize Moses Moody has been doing the damn thing. He's been cooking. Kuminga's been cooking. Paz has been cooking. These young guys have been doing well. Yet you refuse to go to these young guys and you want to hold on to the past of what was. You're not doing anything at all to go free up Curry. Curry is getting mauled. He's got three guys on him at every single point. And if you got three guys on you...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guess what? Two other guys are open, but Curry can't find the other two guys because they're just gone. And that means Wiggins too, because Wiggins been playing like a bum. I get that he's going through personal stuff. I feel for him. I heard about what's going on for him. I feel for him. But you know what? He hasn't been right all year last year, and even this year, he's not the same guy. And Minnesota was glad to get rid of him.
That's 1,000 years ago. So that's I don't even think that's not relevant, because that's not why they were getting rid of Andrew Wiggins. Adrian, let me see if I can split the difference here, because I know the way today a lot of these conversations are going to go.
A lot of Kerr in the crosshairs, well, people, is what I'm forecasting.
People process at different speeds, and that's totally normal and fine. So I'm personally no longer, I left in the fourth quarter the idea of we could have won this game. Like, that left in the fourth quarter last night.
Yeah.
For some people, it was this morning. For others, it'll be tonight. For some people, it'll be July. And that's totally fine. I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. But every time, every one of you who is going to blast Steve Kerr today, what happens in my brain when you do that is it tells me you think the answers are on the roster. And I disagree with you.
Well, I think a lot of people think that the answer is in the coaching staff. So with a new coach, a different coach, then what you have on the roster would be better, because you'd have a better coach, and so you wouldn't have blown all those games. You wouldn't have been in the spot to begin with. I'm playing devil's advocate because I'm not of that same mindset. And I look at last night in particular, you shoot 41% with 16 turnovers, and you shoot 31 from three. You're going to lose, especially when the other team shoots lights out and they turn it over seven times. And that, to me, there's not a coach in the history of the game who could have led you back. And yeah, maybe a timeout here or there would have stopped the bleeding, but
yeah, like,
you were getting run no matter if you called timeout or didn't call timeout.
That's what I mean by splitting the difference. If I acknowledge that Steve Kerr didn't have his best game last night, can maybe others, those of you on the Steve Kerr wagon, can you acknowledge that last night was a hell of a lot bigger than him? Like, boy, are we overusing the word cooking. Not everybody was cooking. No, Trayce Jackson-Davis was not cooking. And by the way,
he was saying of late.
Right. And then he went out there and last night looked awful.
Looked like a rookie.
And you coach that as a game seven situation, which every coach in every sport will tell you, we've got no time for you to work out your stuff. And I know you may say, well, then why is Clay out there? Fair question. However, I'll still go back to the same thing we've said all year. You want the Warriors coach, whoever it is, to be a psychic. You want them to know who's going to hit the next shot. Moses Moody wasn't really, quote, cooking. He was good. Could he have gotten six more minutes last night? Sure. But Moses Moody has been the backup quarterback of this team all year. You've always wanted him in, and every time a game doesn't go well, you scream Moses Moody. And the bottom line is that's not who Moses is. He's a good player. He's not that kind of a difference maker.
Right.
Anybody who thinks Moses Moody was the key to this team getting deep into the playoffs, come on. This is a rotational player who is solid, who we could argue should have gotten more minutes. That's all fair.
Right.
The idea that he was the key that unlocks this whole thing, come on. That's not who he is.
And if you want to criticize Steve Kerr for sticking with Klay Thompson as he goes 0 for 10 in 31 and a half minutes, you can do that. But just know that's what Steve did when they won championships, is he defaulted to veterans and he stuck with guys. And the thing about Klay Thompson that we've all said, when Klay gets hot, then that's great. And when Klay's not hot, you got to shoot your way out of it. And so last night was a spot where if he hits one,
you never know.
And he hits a couple.
That's what I mean by being a psychic.
Maybe he hits five of six.
Right. Like, you all, it's as if in the second quarter, you all thought Klay was going to go goose egg.
Right.
And none of us thought that. Well, like, he's going to hit one at some point.
You would figure.
He never did.
No.
He never did. I just don't, put it this way, I don't see a way they would have won that game. There's no way they were going to win that game.
Well,
not with who they had, not with the way they coached it, not with the way they rotated, not with the effort, not with the nothing.
Well, and give Sacramento credit.
Absolutely.
Because
that's what I mean. They were
Keegan
just,
Murray was 8 of 13 from 3, and Keon Ellis was 3 of 4, and Harrison Barnes, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Harrison Barnes.
I did my 5 minutes on Harrison last night.
He was like a human Post-it last night. Stick it to him. Anything?
I had a feeling he was going to be good.
Yeah.
I had a feeling he was going to be good.
No, like, he was more than good. He was determined. He was focused. He was great.
He's a good player.
It was a plus 29 in that game, Mark. But even if the Warriors played better, Sacramento was fantastic. For me, the bigger issue is not Clay's 0 for 10. It's the fact that he couldn't guard Keegan Murray. That was a bigger factor, in my opinion, of the Clay Thompson part of the loss.
The Kings, like, this was an NBA thing. There's no matchup that, if it's played that way, wouldn't have gone in the direction of whoever the Kings were last night. In other words, I don't care who played. You could have played the Pistons last night. If they get looks like the Kings got, contrasted with the Warriors not getting looks, it was just about open shots. It wasn't even about who was hot. The Kings' shots were open, and the Warriors' shots were contested. That's... you lose.
Yeah.
You lose.
Kings, especially when you turn it over more and get out-rebounded.
Kings outplayed them, like, severely.
Yeah.
Severely outplayed them. Alex in the city. Hey, Alex, what's good?
Hey, fellas, thank you. So, yeah, my first point was going to be the same. Like, the Kings, from the coaching staff to the players, they were locked in. They came out ready to keep TJD from being a vertical threat. They were making everybody but Steph win the game, and it just worked out for them. They were shooting, defending, rebounding, passing, very crisp. On the Warriors' end, I think it just boiled down to, we're vet-heavy and rookie-heavy right now. We don't have a lot in between. That's because we had some things happen. Poole and Draymond couldn't get along. Wiseman didn't pan out. So in conclusion, I think next year we got to be able to either pick up some of those mid-range guys that are like five-year vets that are talented. But if that's not possible, then I think it's a rebuild o'clock. Thank you.
Nice uptick.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah.
Rebuild o'clock. They're not going to rebuild.
No. And
so we can have that conversation, but Joe Lacob's not doing that.
Well, honestly, if you were going to rebuild, that would take probably 2 to 5 years. And that would involve the departure of, well, everybody.
Yep.
And that would, you know, you'd trade Steph, you'd trade Draymond, you wouldn't sign Clay. You probably would keep Wiggins just to have somebody around and let Wiggins go out there and, you know, go 5 for 12 on an expansion style team. But you're just not going to rebuild. Joe Lacob's not doing the lottery.
And a lot of you don't
want... Except for this year.
You say that, but you don't want that. Like, you could do this. This is an exercise you can do. Okay, let's rebuild. Let's go there. You're going to let Clay walk.
Yep.
You're going to trade Draymond.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to look for a way to trade Steph. Oh, now everybody's throat just locked up.
Yeah.
You're like, well, no, not that. Well, I'm sorry. That is rebuilding. You trade your people. You ever watch the Marlins win a World Series? Watch what they do the next year. Have you ever watched the Oakland A's in the offseason after somebody becomes good in their organization? You send them out. I don't care how big of a name they are or how fun they are to watch.
Yep.
They gone.
Boston Celtics did that after their title.
So you actually don't want that. You don't want a full rebuild. I don't think any of you, maybe a few of you, think that way, where it's literally like send everyone out the door. Plus, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The idea of trading Steph Curry is just words. Like, the matching of that number to find a team that wants to, an about-to-be 37-year-old, 50-something million-dollar-a-year contract with 2 years left, who's giving you their star for that? And that doesn't mean rebuild. It's not doable.
Right.
So... If your take today is trade Steph Curry, you're welcome on the show.
Of course.
But it's just not a viable conversation, I don't think.
And for me, the only thing that could possibly make this team a competitive title kind of contender next year would be some sort of a dramatic move, or you get one of these expiring vets like a LeBron James to just choose to come here for dirt cheap. I don't know how likely or viable that is. It's not even worth discussing at this point, but I look at the path forward and there really isn't a good path forward.
I don't know if I fully agree with that yet. This has to unfold and we have to see what's available.
Right.
And we've got a ton of time to do it. We could dip our toe in the water for a second. Do you want the Warriors to compete next year? Lauri Markkanen needs to be your two. That's like Lauri Markkanen. That's your two. That's your number two option. Lauri Markkanen.
So you'll do just about anything in your power, short of Kuminga, because nobody wants to trade Kuminga.
Short of Kuminga.
And you're going to convince Utah to take Wiggins and Moody and three first-round picks for Lauri Markkanen, who's making $14 million next year, I believe.
$18 million next year. You take a bad contract of theirs, and it's a lot more people and assets than what you just put out there. But yeah, something along those lines. And you might need to squint or tighten your shoulders up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know if a Brandon Pajemski needs to be in the deal or a Poughkeepsie kid. I don't know. But like, yes, I do think there is a conversation that can be had in a way where Lauri Markkanen can be your second option next year. A front court scorer. Somebody that takes pressure off of these guys who are running around like fireflies in their mid-30s with major injuries out by the three-point line trying to come up with high-percentage looks. They can't do it anymore. These other teams are all able to... That's, to me, the key to the whole deal. What happened to the Warriors this year? The other team's looks are a higher-percentage shot. And Steph Curry is so amazing that you can still win on some nights by having the lower percentage look, but not enough.
Right.
Not enough nights.
Well, especially when you're talking about 82 games and a guy who's going to be 37 next year and you don't have help.
And Kuminga is not ready to be Kevin Durant, where you're like, oh, there's 7 seconds left on the shot clock. You know what I call these guys? It's the, hey, dude, you take
exactly.
it guy. Hey, dude, you take it and go to the hole. Kuminga's not ready. Too many of his drives last night ended up with a ball that just shot straight up in the air, and with the officials not calling anything, it just whack him to the ground. The ball would go flying up to the top of the backboard, and the Kings are playing 5-on-4. Guess what they're going to get? A Keegan Murray open three-pointer.
Or Keon Ellis, yeah, from
whatever.
The corner.
And that's your game. So you need someone you can dump the ball into, play inside, outside. He's not had a 30th birthday. He can create a shot.
He can shoot the three.
And he can shoot the three. Like you, that, like to me, option A. And there's probably 10 options.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can get it done, but if I'm sitting down and I'm making a to-do list for the Warriors, there's your first bullet point.
Yeah. And
acquire Lauri Markkanen without giving up Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, and probably take three firsts you don't have this year's, and Utah's already stockpiling first from the Donovan Mitchell trade, which is how they got Lauri Markkanen. So you're looking for a team like Utah and a player like Markkanen, a clearly rebuilding team, and you can shovel picks and young players too.
We're presented by Fremont.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.